We rely on the Bible as an absolute standard and guide. But why do we trust the Bible? We'll begin looking at this question this week on Exploring the Faith. I'm Kurt Parton, and this is Exploring the Faith, where we examine any question or issue that helps us be more faithful as followers of Jesus Christ. We want to be growing always closer to God, to more deeply understand the life He's brought us into, to help and encourage our fellow believers, and to meaningfully engage the culture around us. Welcome to the discussion. The first series of episodes I did for this podcast was our series on why we can believe in Jesus. We saw that Jesus was a real historical person, that he was known for his miracles and the authority of his teaching, that he was crucified, buried, and then he rose physically from the dead, that his earliest followers not only believed him to be resurrected, they worshiped him as God. And that Jesus clearly understood himself to be God. We found solid reasons to be confident of our faith in Jesus Christ. You'll recall that we talked about the New Testament Gospels, that we don't need to have divinely inspired, flawless accounts of Jesus to place our faith in him, in who he was, in what he did, and what he said, and in his resurrection from the dead. We just need historically reliable accounts. And we saw that most Jesus scholars do indeed accept the New Testament Gospels as historically reliable. But that begs an important question. Most Christians do accept the Bible as divinely inspired scripture, the authoritative Word of God. We saw why we can believe in Jesus, but why do we believe in the Bible? We're going to spend the next few weeks exploring this question. Why should we trust the Bible? We have people listening who are approaching this question from different perspectives. Some of you aren't Christians, and others are reevaluating the Christian faith. You don't want pat explanations or traditional answers. You're looking to seriously wrestle with these issues so we can see what we can be sure of regarding the Bible. Many of us are processing these issues as committed Christians. We believe the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God, and most of us would accept that it's without error. We hold to Scripture as the final authority for the Christian faith, for our church life and ministry, and for our individual Christian lives. We measure every idea, every tradition, and every action according to the standard of the Scriptures. So the question for us isn't whether we believe the Bible. We do. We have faith in the Scriptures as God's Word to His people. But the questions for us are, why do we trust the Bible? And what kind of faith do we have in the Bible? You may remember from our February 24th episode that we talked about two different kinds of faith and the need to know which kind of faith we have. Objective faith doesn't require absolute proof, but it is looking for convincing evidence that our faith is justified, that the object of our faith is trustworthy and true. Subjective faith, on the other hand, isn't about the truth or trustworthiness of what someone believes. It's just about the fact that they believe. Subjective faith is a blind faith. An irrational faith. It's really just faith in one's own faith, believing only because you believe. So, for those of you who believe the Bible, which kind of faith do you have in the Bible? Objective faith or subjective faith? Listen to the following dialogue and tell me what kind of faith this is.
Why do you believe the Bible? Because it's the Word of God. But how do you know it's the Word of God?
Because it says it is.
But how can you be certain about what it says?
Because it's the Word of God.
Do you see how this begins to just go round and round in circles? That's why it's called circular reasoning. Circular reasoning is a faulty way of arguing that already assumes the very conclusion for which one is arguing. It's like saying, my view is the right one because my view is the right one. In this exchange, the believer isn't really giving an answer, are they? Their answer is essentially that they believe the Bible because they believe the Bible. It's a non-answer. What kind of faith is this? This is subjective faith. The focus isn't really on the trustworthy nature of the scriptures, but on the individual's faith. I believe because I believe. This is blind, irrational faith in the Bible. But is this the kind of faith we find modeled in scripture itself? Let's see. This is what we find in the very beginning of Luke's gospel. He writes this: many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Notice, in what he writes, that others had already written gospel accounts of Jesus, but Luke still takes the time to investigate everything carefully. Why? Why not simply believe? Why not believe the gospel accounts just because they're gospel accounts? Why not tell his friend to believe what he was taught because that's what he was taught? No, Luke takes the time to be certain of the truth he believes and that he presents to others. He's actually so bold as to examine the gospel accounts and verify whether they are indeed trustworthy. Is this a good thing? Absolutely. Here's another example, one we read in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. It says this: that very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. Aha! Someone might be thinking. See, they searched the scriptures. But let's think about this. Who were these people, these Bereans to whom Paul and Silas were speaking? According to the story, they were Jews. So then what scriptures would they have been searching? The Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. As Jews, they already accepted the Old Testament as God's word. But what was Paul presenting to them? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the New Testament gospel. And did he insist they believe this gospel based on what the New Testament said? No, that would be circular reasoning, wouldn't it? It would be irrational. He allowed them to examine his message using the truth they already had. We see something similar in the way Paul addressed Gentiles in Athens. You can find this story also in the 17th chapter of Acts. In speaking to the Athenians, Paul begins by relating to their worship of an unknown God, offering to explain this unknown God to them. He speaks of how there is one God who created everything and everyone, and how this Creator God desires for all people to come into relationship with Him. Along the way, Paul quotes from their own writings. He ends by telling them of Jesus and His resurrection from the dead, but notice that he never once expects the people to believe what he's telling them because of what the Bible says. Everything he says is very biblical, but he doesn't appeal to the scriptures as authoritative for them. Why not? Because these people have no reason yet to accept the Bible as authoritative. We need to remember the instructions we receive in 1 Peter 3:15 through 16. If someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. A big part of our Christian hope is what the scriptures tell us, and we need to be prepared to explain to people why we can draw this hope from the Bible, why it's trustworthy, and we need to offer them more than just that it's the Word of God. Imagine you're having a discussion with a Mormon and a Muslim. Each of you has a different faith, and you use different books as your highest, most authoritative guides. So you, gently and respectfully, challenge your friends as to why they believe in the Book of Mormon or the Quran. They each say they believe in their scriptures because they're the Word of God. Do you accept their claims? Why not? If you disagree with them only because you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you're at a stalemate, aren't you? Each of you believes in your respective holy book simply because you each believe in your holy book. But let's say you're familiar with the scriptures of both religions, and you know of serious problems with these books that would cause a person to doubt whether they are, in fact, God's Word. So, you share your concerns with your friends, right? Gently and respectfully. But just what are you expecting of them? You want them to listen to your challenge of their holy books, right? But to really listen to you, they have to be willing to seriously consider the possibility that their holy book is not actually the Word of God. They must be so committed to the truth, they're willing to re-examine their beliefs to make sure they're truly sound. So, are we willing to do the same thing? Are we willing to not only respect another person enough to hear out their challenge of our scriptures? Are we willing to respect the Bible enough to see whether it stands up to the challenge? If not, what are we afraid of? If the Bible is the Word of God, won't it be able to withstand any challenge? In the study of logic, there's a fallacy known as invincible ignorance. This is the attitude that I already have my mind made up and I'm not going to listen to anything different. It's an adult's way of plugging their ears and yelling so they can't hear what someone else is saying. Someone can act as if they're listening politely to you, but eventually you find that they're not willing to hear and truly consider anything different than what they already believe. This is an irrational, subjective faith. It's unfortunately part of the rampant polarization in our society, with people on either extreme refusing to really listen and consider the views of others. It's not healthy, and it's not the kind of faith the Bible teaches. We must be prepared to put the Bible through the same rigorous tests we require of the Book of Mormon, the Quran, or any other supposed holy book. But, some might ask, are we now judging Scripture? We often emphasize that Scripture tells us when we're right or wrong. We don't judge when Scripture is right or wrong. And this is true of the Bible in the same way it's true of other standards on which we rely. I've often compared Scripture to a level, or a scale, or the instruments in an airplane. But do we place automatic blind faith in these standards just because they're supposed to be reliable? You may recall the first few times you used a level or a scale. After testing it a few times, we become convinced of its trustworthiness. But do we ever reevaluate our trust of a standard? What if you stepped on a scale and it said you weighed 43 pounds? Would you start celebrating because your diet is going so much better than you expected? Or would you suspect maybe something was wrong with the scale? If you just filled your car with gas, and then you're pulling away from the gas station and you look down and the indicator still reads empty, do you turn around and go back and try to fill up all over again out of blind faith in the gas gauge? Okay, fine, but should we ever reevaluate our beliefs? Yes, we should, if we want to have confidence in what we believe. Should such an idea of reevaluating our beliefs, should that scare us? Only if we're more committed to our beliefs than we are to the truth. Some Christians have the mistaken idea that if we really have faith, we'll never experience doubt. But that's completely misunderstanding what faith is. In many ways, faith is similar to courage. Courage isn't never having fear. It's acting with bravery despite our fears. In a similar way, faith isn't never having doubt. It's being convinced despite our doubts. We don't want to be wishy-washy, constantly switching back and forth between believing and not believing. But there are times when Christians will re-examine what they believe. And this is healthy. Facing our doubts strengthens our faith. When a believer experiences doubts about the truth of the resurrection, we don't rebuke them for their doubts or blithely dismiss the challenges they're facing. No, we help them work through the questions and issues. We show where the truth of the resurrection is so sound it can withstand any of these challenges. Many scholars who are now highly effective at studying the historical evidences for the resurrection of Jesus began as Christians with serious doubts. What about the Bible? If we read a passage in Scripture that's deeply troubling to us, is it somehow sinful for us to reconsider our belief in Scripture as the divine Word of God? No. It's simply being intellectually honest. Of course, we shouldn't immediately reject the Bible just because we're struggling with a certain passage, but by, when necessary, re-evaluating the nature of Scripture, we actually demonstrate that our faith in the Bible is not a blind, irrational faith, but one based on the trustworthiness of the Bible itself. If this trustworthiness is challenged in some way, we must reevaluate it. We are people of faith, not irrational fanatics who arrogantly refuse to even consider the possibility we're wrong. By being willing to re-examine the trustworthiness of Scripture, we gain a stronger, more mature faith in the divine nature of the Bible. There once was a man who believed he was actually dead. His doctor tried everything to convince him he was alive, but to no avail. Finally, the doctor had this man read articles all about blood, how blood works in the human body, and how it was impossible for a dead person to bleed. And the man finally conceded the fact that, no, dead people do not bleed. So the doctor took out a needle, pierced the man's thumb, and then showed him the blood trickling out of it. To which the man exclaimed, "Oh my goodness, I guess dead people do bleed." This is invincible ignorance. It's the blind, irrational faith of a person who won't even consider the possibility that what they believe may not be true. This is the kind of faith expected of people in a controlling cult, not of followers of Jesus Christ. We seek a mature faith in Christ and in the Scriptures, not a childish faith of sticking our fingers in our ears and out-shouting opponents so we never have to deal with any challenges to what we believe. If there is absolutely nothing that could cause you to reconsider whether the Bible is the Word of God, then you're probably more committed to your own personal beliefs than you are to what is really true. You'd actually be more committed to your belief in the Bible than to the Bible itself, because you wouldn't be trusting that the Bible can withstand the challenges of its critics. As shocking as it might sound, if the Bible isn't true and trustworthy, we shouldn't want to believe in it. Our first commitment must be to truth itself. This helps ensure we're worshiping the true God rather than our own beliefs and ideas. Thankfully, we have very convincing evidence that the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God, without error, and trustworthy as an infallible, authoritative standard for our faith and lives, leading us to the one true God. So why do we believe the Bible? We'll begin looking at this evidence next week as we continue exploring the faith. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate it and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. This will help others find us. You can find a transcript of this episode, along with any show notes, at exploringthefaith.com. Feel free to post a comment and join the discussion. We also welcome any questions or issues that you'd like us to explore. You can submit these at exploringthefaith.com. Exploring the Faith is sponsored by The Orchard. a Jesus-following church that meets in Rancho Cordova, California, and also in weekly interactive online studies. This is my home church where I'm blessed to serve as teaching pastor. You can find out more about The Orchard at orchardonline.org.